Well, we're back to the book of Isaiah as we work our way through it. And we're at chapter 17. If you have your Bibles with you, please turn with me there. If you don't, it will be up on the screen. But I do encourage you to bring your Bible. That way you can mark and underline. And or just take notes. Refer back during the message, etc. Okay, Isaiah chapter 17, starting with verse 1. An oracle concerning Damascus. See, Damascus will no longer be a city, but will become a heap of ruins. The cities of Aroer will be deserted and left to flocks, which will lie down, with no one to make them afraid. The fortified city will disappear from Ephraim, the royal power from Damascus. The remnant of Aram will be like the glory of the Israelites, declares the Lord Almighty. In that day, the glory of Jacob will fade. The fat on his body will waste away. It will be like when a reaper gathers the standing grain and harvests the grain with his arm. As when a man gleans heads of grain in the valley of Rephaim. Yet some gleanings will remain, as when an olive tree is beaten, leaving two or three olives on the topmost branches, four or five on the fruitful boughs, declares the Lord, the God of Israel. In that day, men will look to their Maker and turn their eyes to the Holy One of Israel. They will not look to the altars, the work of their hands, and they will not have no regard for the Asherah poles and the incense altars their fingers have made. In that day, their strong cities, which they left because of the Israelites, will be like places abandoned to thickets and undergrowth, and all will be desolation. You have forgotten God, your Savior. You have not remembered the rock, your fortress. Therefore, though you set out the finest plants and plant imported vines, though on the day you set them out, you make them grow, and on the morning when you plant them, you bring them to bud. Yet the harvest will be as nothing. In the day of disease and incurable pain. Oh, the raging of many nations. They rage like the raging sea. Oh, the uproar of the peoples. They roar like the roaring of great waters. Although people roar like the roar of surging waters, when he rebukes them, they flee far away, driven before the wind like the chaff on the hills, like tumbleweed before the gale. In the evening, sudden terror. Before the morning, they are gone. This is the portion of those who loot us and the lot of those who plunder us. Father, we thank you for your word. Now, Lord, we just ask that your Holy Spirit would indeed be present here this morning. Lord, I pray for your anointing upon me as I preach your word, that you would give me the words to speak, that all that is said here would bring glory and honor to your name. It would be encouragement and a blessing to those who hear it, that it might draw them closer to you, even if it is through the voice of conviction. Father, we pray that your word would be lifted up and that your people brought closer to you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Kind of a heavy passage, isn't it? It's not one that's full of light. But there is light. There is encouragement here. We do need to look. Again, we need to remember what it is that we're seeing, who we're reading, what's going on. We need to remember that Isaiah, as he's writing, he's being led of the Holy Spirit, and he's talking about things that are going to be happening and things also things that have happened in the past. One of the things we need to remember is King Ahaz. King Ahaz had pretty much foregone worship of God in the temple. In fact, he had gone to Damascus and he had seen the temple there and had been impressed by their sacrifices and impressed by all that they did, and came back to Israel and actually instituted the worship of those gods even in the very temple. This was going on. And that was partially under King Ahaz, who is king as we're reading these prophecies here. We have this oracle against Damascus. Against Syria, against the people of Ephraim. Against those, what we see, who loot and plunder the house of Jerusalem. Those who loot and plunder. Those who are been faithful to God in Jerusalem. That's the us there. What's brought up here is that it is indeed an oracle of judgment. We have in that day three times. And we also have in the day of disease and incurable pain. These are not days that one should be looking forward to if you're on the judgment end of the stick. This is not what the people who weren't following God were going to find to be favorable. But why weren't they following God? Why were they plundering? Why were they building idols? It boils down to really one line here. In verse 10, it says, "You have forgotten God your Savior. You have not remembered the rock your fortress." They had forgotten God. That's why they were going to receive judgment. More so than the fact that they were not of the nation of Israel. As a matter of fact, we have seen previously that salvation was indeed available to those not born of the people of Israel. Yet here in Isaiah, the problem is that they had forgotten God. They'd gone to make their own. Now, if you truly remembered God, if you truly knew God, you'd know better than to try to mess with His stuff. My children know me. Because they know me, they know that there are certain things that they will not and cannot do. It's not going to happen. My children have never sworn at me. Not one time. They know. They know in their being what would happen had they done so. That's going, uh-huh. If we know in our being what God will do to those who plunder His people, what God will do to those who come against Him, those who turn their back on Him and make their own gods, we wouldn't do it. But we've forgotten. People have forgotten who God is. That is what's going on in this passage. There's a whole bunch of people who forget and say, Well, how could they know? Well, in Romans and elsewhere in Scripture, we're shown how even in the very nature, we are to know God just by looking around us and seeing what He has done. This was not done by man. This world, this universe was not created by something that we can carve and put up on my mantelpiece and say, that's God. That's not God. It's the works of my hands. It's nothing. It's less than nothing because it's actually an affront to God. Sin. Yet we do it every time we place something other than God at the front as the most important thing in our lives. That's what the people of Damascus have done. That's why they're receiving this terrible, convicting prophecy, this oracle. Well, my point here is going to just be, my conclusion is, the title of today's message. Have you forgotten God? It's stated what's going on here is that you have forgotten God, your Savior. You have not remembered the rock, your fortress. My entreaty to you, the thing that I'm asking you to do this morning is to remember God, your Savior. To remember the rock, your fortress, Jesus. Our Lord, who went to the cross, who died to restore us to right relationship and cover us over with His blood, cover over our unrighteousness with His righteousness, so that when God looks upon us, what He sees is the righteousness of Christ. How can we forget our Savior? We must not. So this morning I'm just going to encourage you, do not forget your Savior. Do not forget the rock, your fortress. Keep Him in the front of your mind. In the front and the purpose to all your actions. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your blessings. Lord, we thank You for Your word this morning, even though there is a word of conviction there. Lord, we can look at this and we say, that's not us. It's speaking to somebody else in a time far away of people who didn't follow You. But Lord, how many times have we forgotten who You are? Lord, might we not forget? Help us to truly know the awesome wonder of who You are. The God and Creator of the universe. The Lord of all. The beginning, the end. The Alpha, the Omega. The Father, the Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.